Welcome to the Agreeable Brains podcast, episode 21. My name is Scott.
And my name is Chad, and this is the show where two guys you don't know talk about stuff you don't care about.
Did I take you by surprise?
Yeah, dude, I totally didn't know we were starting.
Jumped in with it.
I had to find my script, because I haven't memorized my one line by now.
I know.
After 21 episodes.
It's reassuring to have it with us, the little piece of paper. It's a comfy blankie that covers up my genitals.
No, we have like a teleprompter.
Yeah, we have like thousands of LCD and high-definition plasma screens in the pod cave that we use as teleprompters.
And we put our scripts up there. Everything we say is, this right here, is on the script.
Right, everything, every word. It's amazing how they know that I was going to say this ahead of time.
Yeah.
It's a whole time thing.
It's good script.
You'll get a Star Trek headache if you think about it too much.
It's a Star Trek headache.
Yeah, time, like, where they go and reverse stuff, but then don't, and bounce back and forth, and there's tribbles.
Tribbles from another time?
I don't know.
I'm just saying.
Star Trek and X-Men, they have the worst timeline continuity. They jump and bounce. And
it's got to be Patrick Stewart. He's the only constant.
I know. That's true. Fuck Patrick Stewart. He needs to be murdered.
Don't say that. He'll never come on our show.
I'd fuck Patrick Stewart if he said, "Hey, Scott, fuck me."
He's English.
Yeah.
So,
and he's gay, I think. So
he's got a son.
Well, I mean, he's English gay. They're married and have babies, but they still suck cock.
Do they?
Yeah, that's English French. Gay. No, you know, like, European gay, I guess we could go with.
European?
There's that, too. That's Japanese gay, where they pee all over each other.
Do they?
I don't know.
How do you know so much about what gay people do?
I get a newsletter. I thought we established this years ago that I get the gay newsletter.
I thought they had moved to an e-zine by now. they still had a newsletter.
We're surprisingly old-fashioned.
Yeah.
For taking it up the butt.
Because,
I'm not going to include myself in the taking it up the butt.
No, you said we, and I have it recorded.
All right, let's start this show.
I thought we did. What is all this?
Yeah. Now I don't know what we're talking about. You should direct us.
Well, do you have anything interesting that happened to you this week?
I got a job.
You did?
Yeah.
That's great.
Isn't that crazy? How did you know that I got a job?
I had an inkling.
So I'm going to be working in the same building as Chad.
Yeah.
Maybe even the same area.
I don't know how that'll... We'll see how that works.
Yeah, I don't know. It'll be hell on earth if Chad's my boss.
Yeah, I'll
have to punch people.
Yeah, I don't think that'll happen.
No way, man. I'll be your enforcer.
I mean, there's a pretty good chance that... Because my department does, triple in size over the holidays.
Yeah.
So, we'll see how that goes.
I did figure out this week that I have a buddy who's working in your department, too.
Yeah.
That I play basketball with. I forgot. Yeah. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, he told me that.
Yeah, so I got a job, so my wife is super excited.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty excited, too. I was, I was bored, but I wasn't so bored that I was ready to go to work.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean? And hell, I had, the perfect life for the last 2 years, especially with the kid in school now.
I mean, the cool thing is, it's seasonal, so you kind of have an out.
Well, I need to start pulling my weight.
You don't want it.
I want to buy stuff that, that I can buy now without, having to beg for some pennies from my wife.
Yeah, doesn't that Battlefield game come out Tuesday?
Well, I've already been prepaying on it, I have half of it paid up already. So a $70 game is going to end up costing me $30. I mean, that's how I'm looking at it, and it's really going to cost me $70 in the long run, but. Yeah. I walk in the store and hand over 30, and they give me the game. That's $30 spent on the game.
That'll be cool.
That's like that whole thing. Money you don't see is money you don't miss.
That's true. I'll let you play that for a couple weeks and see if you actually like it.
I'll love it.
Well, that's what you said about Homefront, which I almost pre-ordered because you were going to buy it.
I did make a terrible mistake on Homefront, but it was based off of false information too to begin with. I thought it was totally related to this whole there for a while. There was this whole internet nostalgia and hysteria about the new
Red Dawn.
Right. And what it was is I had read somewhere that the writer of Red Dawn was associated with this game, so I thought it was like the movie game
that part's true.
He wrote the script for so I guess the script is good, but the online play is terrible, and the graphics were horrible. But I guess it's still super popular. People are playing it. I mean, despite my negative review, people still bought it.
That's crazy.
I know. All 15.
If only that were true for Brink.
So, any crazy, interesting stories this week? I think that was it for me. What about you?
Yeah, I haven't even been home long enough to have a crazy story. So that's all I got. You good for the week?
Yep, that's it.
All right, man.
Yay, now we're talking about interbrainments.
We are.
Right?
Should we keep saying the title of every segment, or should we just talk about our segment?
Does it say interbrainments in the, or you just play the uh-huh part, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we should say we're talking about interbrainments, okay. Not, unless you somehow work that in.
I don't know.
Get your wife to say all sexy in a mic, interbrainments.
I'll run that by her. We'll see how that works. Okay, so what do you have?
Well,
I didn't watch anything this week.
You've been too busy working.
I watched one episode of Nick Swartzen's Pretend Time, the season premiere of that, and that is literally like all I've seen all week.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah, I love that show.
Well, I watched Red State. It finally came on Netflix instant streaming, and I called you, or actually I hay-tailed you and said, hey, you want to watch Red State as like a party on, because we've been talking about doing that on Xbox or something, and you're like, no.
I'm really torn on that movie because...
You wouldn't like it.
I like Kevin Smith a lot, and you know, I like his movies, I like his comedies, I guess I should say. And, you know, I like him as a director. And I listen to his podcast. And so, you know, I think he's hilarious. And I think he's very interesting. And I've heard all kinds of stuff about the movie from him talking about it, from other people. And I just don't know if I just don't think it's something I would like. I did really want to go see when he was in Kansas City a couple times screening it.
It would be a different experience.
Yeah. You know, I kind of wanted to see that and the Q&A and stuff, but especially sitting at home by myself, I don't know.
You wouldn't be by yourself. I would be talking to you in your ear.
Yeah, that's like worse. Just as or worse.
Well, so Red State, it's directed by Kevin Smith, but it's not written or produced or anything like that by Kevin Smith. It's produced by the people who used to own Miramax, but don't anymore. What's his name? Harvey... Weinstein.
Yeah. He didn't write this? I could have sworn he wrote this.
No, this was his deal. This was the deal. He was pitching around some movies. You know, the only real successful movie he's had was Chasing Amy, was critically successful. I mean, all the critics liked it. Clerks and I think Mallrats were what they consider financially successful, meaning that they made more money than it cost to make it. And
I can't imagine that any of his movies really lost money though, because he's
he brags about the fact that his movies have never really lost money, but it's they've not made the studio like an ass ton of money though either. You know, there's no franchise pictures out there. The only ones would be Clerks and Clerks 2, and maybe the Jay and Silent Bob epic is a.
They're all set in the same kind of setting,
but they don't. But the Hollywood executives don't view him that way.
Oh, yeah.
But Red State is completely different. It's only directed by Kevin Smith, not written. The studio came to Kevin Smith and said, hey, you know, and he was officially retired, at least from movie making. You know, he was starting his online radio. He was starting he's got a couple TV shows coming out, one on A&E, and I think another one on another cable channel. So he had other stuff he was working on. I think a book deal. And the movie studio came to him and said, hey, listen, we'd like to see you make a movie, but maybe not a movie that you made. And he said that after he thought about it, you know, he was always one that said, I'm only going to make my movies. I'm not going to make anybody else's movies.
So you're not talking about Cop Out?
No,
he only directed that one for the studios.
He didn't write it?
No, he didn't write it. He only directed that one.
Well, I know Cop Out was a horrible experience for him, but I'm pretty sure he wrote that too.
No, it was already done. I don't think it was a horrible experience. He just didn't like working for the studios.
Well, this was, I guess, a very similar experience to where they came to him and said, we want to see you make a film. And according to him on his podcast, he said that it was time in his career to show that he could direct a movie. You know, he's learned a lot of tricks along the way. He didn't go to film school or anything like that. But you know, he's learned from some of the best, and he's a film fanatic himself. And you can see that in this Red State. He uses a lot of, it doesn't look like a Kevin Smith film.
Yeah.
A lot of action-oriented shots, a lot of horror-type situation shots. You know, I mean, a lot of stuff that it's not your standard Clerks material. You know, single camera, close-up shot, medium shot, wide shot. There's none. I mean, there's some of that, but it's not as prevalent as it is in Clerks.
It does look like he did write Red State.
Well, you're looking at the IMDb?
Yeah.
And it says he wrote it?
Yeah. Written and directed. Oh. Writer Kevin Smith.
Well, that changes my review to about it altogether. Man, I could have swore I heard on the podcast, on one of the Smod Nation podcasts, where they said that this was just a script that was approached to him. And that
was cop-out.
I know, I guess I knew it was cop-out, too, but I just swore this was Red State, too.
But I was mistaken. Yeah, he said the reason that he did cop-out is, you know, the studios loved him. He made money for him and stuff, and they basically just had a big stack of scripts and said,
take. And he wasn't writing anything at the time. Yeah.
He didn't like working for the studios, and so then he went on to make this.
You know what?
Red State
movie. Now that I think about it, maybe the story was he had this script, and they wanted him to do like more like clerk stuff.
Yeah.
And he wanted to do something different to show his range. Maybe that's what the story was, and he went and did this horror type thing, and that was the deal with Cop Out too. He wanted to do an action flick.
Yeah.
I
liked Cop Out.
I did too.
Yeah. Okay.
I liked Cop Out a lot. Like, it's third or fourth out of the Kevin Smith films as one of my favorites. Tracy Morgan is hilarious in it. Sean William Scott is great. Bruce Willis is Bruce Willis.
When he's in a comedy, he is funny. He's a funny guy.
Yeah, Hudson Hawk. I dare anybody watch Hudson Hawk.
Love Hudson
and
Hawk.
And not think that's a funny movie.
It's hilarious.
I know it didn't do great in the theater in the 80s, but man, it's awesome.
I own that on VHS and I think maybe DVD. I can't remember.
But getting back to Red State, so Kevin Smith wrote this movie, which this changes my review of a little bit. I mean, not so much in the fact that it's not a Kevin Smith movie. And, I mean, it's not his normal type of movie.
It's completely against what people think.
And even to the point
of
that his storytelling is not that great in this movie. The story is not good. I mean, it's not good. It's not that it's not good. It's thin. Like, there's no real backstory. There's no real... there's no real depth to any of the characters. The freaking action starts quick.
Yeah. If you compare that, though, to his comedies, I mean, you could kind of say the same thing. I mean, his characters in his comedies are more like one stroke.
Well, but they have more of a, and this might be just because they have had so many films and he uses a lot of his characters over and over again. He's had a lot of films to develop these characters. So maybe I feel like they're deeper. And maybe they did start out as more like one-stroke characters, Jason Mewes, Jay, being an example of the pot-dealing wise guy, I guess.
But I mean, that's what he is in Clerks, and that's what he is in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. So, I mean, it's not like a huge character development.
Well, no, in Silent Bob, he's not just the wisecracking pot dealer. I mean, he was the star of the movie. He had to carry it. Now, his background may not have been developed as much, but. As far as character, though, it was a character-driven movie, and he carried it. If you watch the extras on it, they talk about that, about how the studio was so scared to have this. And at the time, he was like a cokehead or a heroin head to have him. But he got clean just for that production and made the movie good. So here's what I have written down. The movie uses a Craigslist-type site, and they use it as a simple plot device to move the story. And it's moved almost immediately. I guess I should have said spoiler alerts. I'm going to drop some spoilers. So it's on Netflix now. If you don't want to be spoiled by it, jump ahead about 20 minutes and you'll be good.
Oh, fuck, dude. I know you're about 20 minutes.
Well, I don't know about 20. That was just a good guess.
No, I'm just
So they use this Craigslist type site. These three teenagers, they want to get laid.
Yeah.
And of course, they use a Craigslist type site as a simple device to move the story. The other faction in the movie is these Phelps Church type people that got the crazy people out of.
Basically a parody, or not, I guess a parody, but it's the Westboro Baptist Church with the serial numbers filed off.
Yeah, exactly. So they won't get sued. I've never heard that before with the serial numbers filed off. That's funny. But man, the movie starts fast. Once the kids decide they want to get laid, it's about 5 or 10 minutes of them at school and talking about getting laid, and then they come over to his house and they're like, we're getting laid, get your mom's car, and bam, it fucking starts. The shooting, the blood, everything starts. Really?
Because, yeah, I was under the impression that it was, and I guess, I mean, I don't want to say like the first half, but yeah, I thought the whole thing started off almost like a, you know, American Pie teen sex comedy kind of thing.
To first like 5 minutes of it.
Lull you into a sense of, oh, this is a Kevin Smith teen sex comedy. And then also you're like, oh my God, what is happening?
Yeah, the first 5 minutes is that. But, oh, that's you it. Know, if they would have stretched that out longer, it might have been like that. But so the teenage group, the teenage kids agreed to meet a woman in some trailer in the backwoods of this county that is known for this church that lives there that has radical views on homosexuality and, you know, everything. It's just like the West, what are they called? Westboro Baptist out of Topeka.
Quote unquote church.
The Phelps family. Well,
oh, they're going to picket us now.
I wish they would picket us. I haven't peed on anybody in a long time. I'd really like to pee on a Phelps.
Ew, that's weird.
Yeah, it'd be like manna from heaven.
I don't know. I think that would be, I don't think you're allowed to just pee on people.
No, I would. I don't care. I'd go to jail for peeing on them. So it's also very basic character types. The most complex character is probably the father of the church, the preacher, Michael Parks. And that may just because he's the most veteran actor that's in there and was able to take this shallow character and make it seem more rich and more, you know, he's by far the most veteran actor in the flick.
Now, what else has that guy done? Because the name's not popping.
He is why would you ask me that?
He's a veteran actor.
Well, he's been around a long time. Like, he's been in stuff. I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
About the guy that won like 8 gold medals for swimming.
No, that's a different Phelps, believe it or not. Weren't we just talking about Phelps? Isn't his last name Phelps? Phelps
family, yeah.
That's creepy. They just wigged me out.
One of us.
So I'm looking him up on IMDb.
You're friends with him on Facebook?
Yeah. He has done, I mean, just like, he was in Planet Terror and Death Proof, Grindhouse, just a Kill Bill Volume 2 and Volume 1.
Who was he in that?
From Dusk Till Dawn 3, he was Earl McGraw in that, and, He was in Wicked, he was in,
Wicked.
From Dusk Till Dawn. Right. Oh, yeah. He played Texas Ranger Earl McGraw. He's the ranger who comes in. He's in all of when Quentin Tarantino needs a cop or ranger or a sheriff in his movie, he gets this guy. He's the one that walks into the church, and when the bride is laying on the ground and they think she's dead and it's a big crime scene and she's pregnant, she's all shot up, and he comes in and his son's there, or I don't know if it's his son, but it's a younger deputy. And he comes in and says what happens in the crime scene, and then she spits blood in his face, and he goes, "I do believe this Philly's alive," or something like that.
I don't remember that.
You would know him if you saw him.
Maybe.
He was in Twin Peaks. Man, this dude is in 1907. He was in Stamp of a Killer. I mean, this dude's been in everything. He's been around forever. 1969, he was in The Young Lawyers. On TV, Route 66. I mean, this dude's been around a long time. And he's really good in it. But he plays the father figure of a family unit. The mother is
patriarch.
A patriarch. He plays a patriarch of a family church. Literally, like, all the members of this church are related by marriage or blood.
Yeah.
And there's like 25 of them. And, he preaches that God hates the world because of gay people, and that's basically the core of his religion, I guess. I don't know. And all the sinners and the Sodom and the Gomorrah references and stuff like that. So, but the story moves very fast. I mean, it immediately goes into torture and blood within, it seemed like 10, 15 minutes.
Was it like a Hostel kind of movie?
There's not a lot of blood and stuff, but there's a lot of shooting. There's a lot of killing. But it's not like so much torture, but there is like anticipation of being killed. Like these three kids end up being drugged and knocked out, and then they take them back to the church, and they got one of them in a dog cage, and then there's another guy that they got saran wrapped to a cross, and they end up blowing his head down into the saran wrap. Like they wrap him all the way up so that no blood gets on the church. I'm thinking that's some sort of like CSI thing to keep the particles. It looked like if I'm going to kill someone, now I know a way that I'm going to do it, and you know, I think it's going to work as far as CSI shit goes. Not a lot of blood splatter, not a lot of fragments in your church if you saran wrap the whole thing and just leave a little top of the head part done, and you just cap them right in the top of the head.
That's weird.
So, well, at the same time, there's this story, kind of almost like a sub-story about John Goodman, who plays an ATF agent who has had a rough career being like in Waco and all that stuff, Ruby Ridge, where ATF has made a ton of mistakes and they went in and killed like a bunch of people and stuff. And they didn't handle the situation right, I guess, and a bunch of people died, especially like in Waco. Well, he is a veteran ATF officer, and he's telling his superiors that we should handle this with negotiations and all this stuff. These people are whack jobs. It's going to end up like Ruby Ridge. It's going to end up like Waco. So
people know they have these kids?
No. They know that these guys are amassing weapons, like Waco. So the ATF is involved. Yeah, they have no idea about these kids or the other guy that they just killed. So John Goodman, he's really good in it too. He plays the ATF agent who goes to the scene and tries to get him to negotiate and all shit. But at the same time, these kids, some of them have broken out and they're trying to get away. And one kid is running out of the compound. You think he's going to get free. And the fucking ATF guy shoots him because he thinks he's a cultist guy, you know, the church guy running toward them because he's got a gun. He's stolen a gun. He's running. And he's saying, don't shoot, don't shoot. And he gets shot and he dies. And so then all hell breaks loose and they take out the church, basically. And and then it has this real weird twist ending, I would say. And but it wasn't like a twist. It was like they were going to twist it. And then it was like, ha-ha, we didn't twist it. And it's exactly how you thought it was going to end. The twist is that there was no twist. And
what the twist?
So all of a sudden, like, they're having this big confrontation. And, like, the church is almost, like, everybody's almost dead in the church, and this, they're making their last stand, and the ATF's getting ready to come in, and all of a sudden you hear this loud noise, bong, and it's like this trumpet blast, and it's loud, and people are, like, crippled by it, and bong, goes again, and just gets real loud, and, like, everybody's like, oh, what is that, what is that? The church thinks it's the end of time, the rapture, and so they're like, we're going to die anyway. Let's just walk out there and shove it in their faces that it's the rapture. And we were right. And God is now protecting us and all this stuff. So they walk out and confront the ATF. And the ATF's like, we don't know what it was. But it turns out that they just arrested them all and took them to jail. And it turns out it wasn't the rapture. Turns out, I thought, oh, this could get interesting. This might actually be like the rapture. And maybe like God is going to show up and shove his fist in this preacher's ass and show him, you know, how much he...
Like, so Alanis Morissette walks out and just slaps him?
Yeah, just fists him right in the ass. And, you know, I thought it was going to be something like that. So I was like, oh, okay, here's the Kevin Smith. Here's the ideology. Here's the youthfulness of his films. I got a statement, and this is... It's going to be God fisting this fucking faggot hater. And,
oh, dude, I think if there was a scene where God is fisting a man, it probably would have... had a lot more uproar.
Well, you know, but that's what I'm thinking, because the scene just kind of pauses the movie for a good 2-3 minutes. It just like bong, and everybody's like, and it's 2 or 3 minutes of this trumpet blasting, and the church comes out, and you're like, oh, okay, this is when it's good. This and that's immediately what my mind went to, that it, okay, this is gonna be the cool part. And no, it what it turns out to be is some hippies had bought the land next to the family's land, and they were growing pot. The illegal pot farm, and the church family was always pestering the hippies to get off. You know, they didn't want them that close to their land, and the hippies were just trying to get back at them and were making a joke about the rapture. And they had planted speakers everywhere and had this huge trumpet blast noise playing. They got off the internet and they just ended up arresting all the church people. And that guy, the last scene is the patriarch of the church, Michael Parks, in prison, and like you can hear all the inmates like yelling at him, we're going to get your ass, preacher, you know, we're going to show you who God hates and that kind of stuff, you know. And he's just kind of singing a little church hymn to himself, and then it ends like that. And it ends with John Goodman telling the story, and I thought, oh, it had such an opportunity to take like a weird, unusual twist with God appearing and like actual rapture and you know, I don't know. I just, it seems like a missed opportunity. My review of this film is, if you're a huge Kevin Smith fan and you like all that witty banter and all that, funny stuff that he can come up with, and the nostalgia of being a child of the 80s or a child of the 90s, like Kevin Smith is, you know, and he uses old music and talks about old movies and stuff in his films. None of that is present. So don't watch it just based on that. If you're a fan of suspense and horror and Kevin Smith and want to see how Kevin Smith would run this through his filter, then go ahead and watch it. But I only give it a 3 out of 5. It's watchable. It's not horrible, but it's not great. And
I'm not gonna watch that.
Yeah, I figured you wouldn't. But let's see. I said Michael Park I took some notes, and there's this one scene. This is why I couldn't believe Kevin Smith wrote this. There was this one scene between John Goodman and an ATF agent, and I don't remember his name, but it's the guy from True Blood who plays the gay guy's lover. And he's a witch too, and the gay guy's a witch, and
are you calling gay people witches?
Well, they are in the show, or at least those two are. They're having a conversation where John Goodman's just gotten the orders to storm the compound, and they can get away with it now. And he's like, "But we're not going to storm it because it's Waco, and all these kids are going to die, and it's going to be real bad." And the guy's like, "No, this is a new era. These people are terrorists. All we got to is classify them as homegrown terrorists, and we can do whatever we want. We'll make them disappear under the Patriot Act, and, you know, we don't even have to." So they're like, "All right, fuck it. We go in there. We're just going to kill everybody." And this young ATF agent who's the head of the SWAT team is arguing with John Goodman. And it's the kid from True Blood. And he says, yo, "What are we doing, yo?" like 9 times in a 2-minute conversation. And this is a professional ATF agent. You know, these guys are like FBI. They go to a special school. They get the smartest of the smartest people to be involved. And he's talking to a superior officer. And he says yo to him like 9 times. And I was just like, that is the worst piece of shit writing I have ever heard. And I don't know if this kid was improvising and just got stuck on the word yo. And Kevin's like, "Moving on. I don't care. I got to eat a hot dog. Let's go." And
is that a fat joke?
That is a fat joke.
Oh, and, come on.
And
we're above that.
Not really.
Not really, but we should be.
But I don't know what it was, but it's the worst piece of writing I've seen in a long time. And it's disappointing that it came from Kevin Smith. But so my review is 3 out of 5 stars. It's watchable, but it's not great. If you're a diehard Kevin Smith fan and you want all that witty banter and all that that comes with Kevin Smith, don't watch this one.
I will not.
Yeah, plus, Shannon Doherty's not in it anywhere.
Oh, damn. I was pretty sure that I wouldn't like it. I really only wanted to go see it more to support the idea of it.
Yeah, that was
But now that it's on Netflix, you know, I've already paid for my Netflix, so it doesn't matter if I watch it or not.
Yeah, he's getting a percentage whether or not you watch it or not.
Maybe I'll turn it on and let it play one time while I'm doing something else.
With the TV off,
I'll just run it on, you know, the Xbox while I'm in here watching TV or something. That way he'll get a ding for it being watched, and I don't have to have nightmares of getting put in a dog cage.
So we have one more article in Innerbrainment, and
I am interested to hear about this.
Yeah, so why don't you kind of get our listeners caught up?
Okay, so when we did the review of Troll Hunters, we talked a pretty good bit about just the genre of the fake found footage kind of documentary style movies.
Well, and
where the premise is, oh, this actually happened and someone happened to film it and here's what they filmed. You know, Cloverfield's probably the biggest one. Well, I don't know. Most everyone's probably heard of Blair Witch Project, so that might be actually the biggest one.
Right.
That may be the most well-known, but Cloverfield's probably the biggest production for one of those kind of things. And then, of course, Troll Hunters in that same style, kind of mixed with the documentary.
Right.
But those were kind of really the only ones we could really think of at the time. So you found a list of what do you say, 10 or 11?
Yeah, I think there's 11 of them.
And so we thought we might just talk about those a little bit.
And it's found footage movies, like you were saying. And this article has stated that the Paranormal Activity movies are kind of in that same genre too.
Yeah, I think they are. And we might have mentioned those. I don't remember.
I don't think we did. I haven't seen them though. I have. So. They're freaky. They will freak the shit out of you.
Yeah, that's why I haven't seen them.
But
even though I don't believe in ghosts.
Yeah, I don't either. I still watch them. But
yeah, just creepy stuff is creepy whether you believe that it's real or not.
So in the 80s, there was a flick called Cannibal Holocaust. The earliest movie on this list that uses the found footage gambit is a notorious Italian gore movie, Cannibal Holocaust.
Yeah, I've actually heard of that. Yeah, I just too. Didn't realize it was that.
It's one of the grossest movies ever made, with blood and guts all over the screen. The narrative tells the tale of a documentary film crew that is dispatched to the distant Amazon to investigate indigenous cannibal tribes. They end up in the soup, basically.
But they get to keep their camera the entire time.
Yeah. Man Bites Dog, which I've heard of this one too, and it's one of the coolest serial killer movies ever made. Man Bites Dog is a must-see. Filmed entirely through one camera, the flick tells the story of a three-man documentary team that discovers Ben, a murderer who breaks into the apartment building to kill residents for his own sick pleasure. So, that's a found.
It's following him around or something?
I guess. That's number 10. That's and number weird. 9 is Blair Witch Project, which I think everybody who's 30 years old or under knows about, probably. Or the last horror movie. In the post-Blair Witch landscape, found footage flicks started coming hot and heavy. Most of them were cheapo ripoffs, but some good ones also made it through. One such good one is 2003's The Last Horror Movie, the first flick ever released to theaters by legendary horror magazine Fangoria.
Huh.
I never heard about that. The film is a cunning fictional concept. Conceit, but that sentence doesn't make sense. The film has a cunning metafictional conceit.
Probably supposed to be concept.
Oh, could be a misprint.
Yeah.
Not on such a professional website as that I surf that they would have typographical errors.
I don't know.
It appears to be a videotape of a normal everyday horror movie, but soon it cuts off and you discover that somebody has taped over the movie. That somebody is a demented wielding cameraman and his assistant, and you then become helpless witness to a murder spree. That's kind of cool. So you're like starting out watching another movie, and then it like comes up to a whole different, and they've taped over it, like I did my mom's.
There's probably a better effect in the VHS era.
Yeah, yeah, it wouldn't really work in the DVD era or the. Paranormal Activity, which was we've mentioned, was one. It's not really found footage, but it's
isn't it set up like,
well, it's a family who sets up cameras yeah, to catch weird stuff, and then I guess someone finds the footage because they all end up getting killed. But
they get killed, and there are like five of those movies.
Well, there's three of them, and I'm not sure how, but somehow they're all tied together. REC or REC, which I think it stands for record. So America doesn't have a monopoly on found footage. Spanish horror flick REC is one of the creepiest flicks in recent memory. The movie follows a female TV reporter and her cameraman as they work on a show about a night shift fireman. Unfortunately, a simple call to rescue a woman trapped in her apartment quickly changes. Oh, this is they remade this movie in America called has the chick from Dexter in it. It's called Quarantine.
Yeah, we started watching that, I think.
Yeah, and they just made a Quarantine 2, which is found footage.
Quarantine 2, so, Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, we stole that from the Spanish, apparently. Cloverfield is number 5. We talked about Cloverfield a little bit. This has got an awesome title. Trash Humpers.
Trash Humpers?
Trash Humpers.
Huh.
Let's take a little break from the world of horror and travel with Enfant and Terrible, Harmony Caroni. I guess a terrible child. Enfant into the world of Trash Humpers, the tale of gang of losers and freaks that roam the darkened streets of Nashville, Tennessee. Trash Humpers is filmed using the grodiest VHS equipment imaginable, with artifacting and chaos everywhere. I guess a lot of lens artifacting and junk. That perfectly mimics the narrative of the film, such as it is, as the geriatric garbage fetishist wanders through a desolate landscape with no end in sight. So I have no idea what that movie's about.
Yeah, that didn't explain anything.
The picture is freaky. The Last Exorcism, which was another found footage priest, you know, exorcising a demon out of a girl, and someone decides to record it, I guess. Number two is Troll Hunter. If you haven't seen Troll Hunter yet, you need to get your ass on Netflix right now, is what the first sentence of this says. And I agree.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Apollo 18, which just came out. Which
forgot about that.
Another, some friends of ours on another podcast just ripped Apollo 18, and I never saw it.
Yeah, I didn't see it either, but I haven't heard anyone that really liked it.
Yeah, I'll probably watch it if it comes out on Netflix, but so that made number one.
I would have put
not the greatest.
Troll Hunter. Or did they do them in chronological order, maybe?
I have no idea. They didn't really state an order. Just I think it's just 11 examples.
All right, so are we done with Interbrainments?
We are done with Interbrainments.
All righty. What are we going to do now, Scott?
How about some Game Brain?
Let's do some Game Brains.
You didn't put the S on the Game Brains on the script, so I read exactly what's on my teleprompter. Game Brain.
Oh, Game Brain?
Game Brain?
Yeah. So, do you have any? Have you played anything this week?
No. I have nothing to add to this conversation.
Nice. I did play a little bit of Warhammer 40K Space Marine, a new Xbox game.
Yeah, you were telling me about that.
So my brother had rented it, and he played through the campaign, and he still had a couple of days left on his week, so he let me borrow it, and I played it for a little bit. I liked it enough that I'll probably rent it again and maybe try to play through it a little bit more.
Right.
I think it captures the feel of what it would be like to be a Space Marine. So, and I heard the story gets a lot better as you go along. And
yeah, because your initial review of it was that the online wasn't that great.
Yeah, I played it for one day and maybe got into chapter like 3 or 4. And then I wanted to try out the online multiplayer just to kind of see how it played. Now, you know, up front, I only played like three matches.
Right.
So I only played it for maybe like less than an hour. I just wasn't really having any fun with it. Okay. So they're doing that thing. And you've probably seen some other games do this where you can't do the online stuff unless you either buy a new copy of the game that comes with the download.
With a code, yeah.
Or if you buy a used copy, you have to go purchase the DLC.
Battle code or whatever it's called. At least one of the games that I have,
you have to pay to unlock this, or it comes with the new copy. Right. But if you rent, you know, of course you can't really do it. So you can now in this game, you can play online without that code, but you cap out at level 5. So that wasn't really a big deal because I never even got past level 1.
You didn't put that much time into it.
Yeah. But what I didn't like, as far as I can tell, it's all just kind of deathmatch. And so you play Marines versus Chaos Space Marines. So it's basically just Marine versus Marine. So you play a Marine, which is just like what you play in the game. So when you're level 1 though, you have absolutely no options. You pick your Marine. You can't pick anything else. So all you get is a bolter for a ranged weapon, which is just the basic gun that all Space Marines have.
Right.
And then you get a knife as your close combat weapon. And that's all you get. And as near as I could tell, there's no opportunity to get anything else during the course of the game. Like if someone dies and they drop their weapon,
you cannot pick it up. That's weird.
So I joined the game, just, you know, completely joined a pickup group because, you know, I don't know anyone else has the game.
Right.
I'm a level 1 newbie. In the game are like level 20 people with like plasma pistols and like force axes and stuff. And they are just completely destroying me. And so I honestly don't know if there's any sort of balance at all. I'm guessing maybe like my team was balanced with the other team, like as far as like maybe the total.
Yeah, but
total.
You don't know that for sure.
Yeah, I don't know that for sure, and it certainly did not help me at all during the game.
Didn't seem like it.
You know, it was pretty standard deathmatch as far as, you know, there's no real teamwork or anything like that. It's, you know, I shoot these people and I don't shoot at these people kind of deal.
Right.
And so I think I got out of 3 matches, I think I got a total of one kill, and I was just getting raped. And so, not literally.
That wouldn't be fun at all.
Yeah, I felt like it. And so, yeah, I was just not having any fun. So, you know, I just didn't even bother with it anymore. So, I did like the game enough. I want to play it through some more. I might rent it again or borrow it from someone that has it, but I don't know about the online. And it's, you know, and it's not a first-person shooter. It's one of those third-person shooters like Gears of War. Right. So
Gears of War is fun, but as far as that online, I don't like the over-the-shoulder view. I'd rather the
I've never played Gears of War online, because by the time I got around to playing Gears of War, nobody was playing it online because everyone was playing Gears of War 2. So, I don't know how that would work.
I mean, you get used to it, but it's not my favorite.
Yeah. Well, I also have Transformers War for Cybertron. It's the same kind of thing. It's a third-person shooter. Right. And I've played the online on that a few times, and it's kind of fun, but it's just not that same feel as, like, a first-person shooter. So,
right.
So, I don't know. I don't really want to give it a star rating at the moment, since I haven't played through it all that much, but... I did really, you know, enjoy what I've done so far. The campaign's pretty epic because, of course, you're a Space Marine.
Yeah, Space Marine.
Total badass. I've seen a lot of reviews where people are saying how, like, this game totally rips off Gears of War, but Warhammer 40K has been around for, like, a long, long time.
Yeah, but I don't think they're talking about, like, the story. I think they're talking about the gameplay.
Well, what they're talking about is, like, big guys in armor with, like, chainswords and stuff. And
well, that's, like, the same kids who, when you go to the movie theater and there's, like, they show those quiz things before the movie. And, like, comes up and says, Madonna had a number one hit in 1992. And some little teenager in the front row says, I didn't know Madonna sang. You know?
Never heard that.
Or an actor or something, you know.
Yeah. So, also... My daughter's birthday was last weekend, which we mentioned. So she used all her birthday money to go buy herself a 3DS,
which is what she's really been asking for. Yeah. She wanted that specifically. We gave her money because we were told it would go through the 3DS.
So she got enough. So we bought her a game, and she got enough to buy the 3DS and an additional game.
How's the? Have you played it any?
I've messed with it a little bit.
How's the 3D?
It's surprisingly well done.
I hear yeah, it's really cool.
Since
you don't need glasses.
Yeah, it's very weird. Like, you just look at the screen and it's 3D.
I know.
But here's what I've noticed is it is 3D, but it's all like back depth. So nothing pops out at
right,
you.
Right, exactly.
But like something will be on the screen and then in the background, like, goes to the back.
Yeah, there's depth to it.
Yeah.
Perspective.
But so she's been playing that. She... There's a game that came with it, and that's probably been the one she's actually played the most.
Right.
But it's a cool little, like, augmented reality game.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it's cool. What you do is you take a picture of someone and of their face, and then it takes that picture and it like maps it to this little, like, flying helmety head thing. And then what you do is you stand up, and then you have to look around the room with the camera and find those things, and you shoot them with a little crosshair.
Right.
So it's kind of like a first-person shooter that you play in your bedroom or whatever.
Right.
So she's played that one quite a bit. It's kind of neat. And then my kids are pretty kind of big into Pokemon, I guess. I don't know if kind of really big, but they watch the cartoon occasion. But they both play the card game, and they like quite a bit. And Kay's got quite a few of the books, so she wanted a Pokemon game for her DS. So we bought her. I didn't know if she would like the normal Pokemon games.
Right. I know nothing about Pokemon.
Because they can get kind of hard.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you have to, like, train up your guys and capture them and stuff. So we bought her one of the Pokemon Mystery Dungeons, because I thought she might like that one a little better. Because in those, you actually play as a Pokemon, and you're basically, it's kind of a light dungeon crawler.
Yeah.
Mystery Dungeon is a series. It's not even really a series. It's more of a genre of games. But basically, they're like light dungeon crawlers, and what the thing is the dungeons are completely randomly generated.
Right.
That's why it's called a Mystery Dungeon.
Yeah.
But yeah, you play as a Pokemon, and you go around, you get jobs to, like, go and rescue other Pokemon and stuff. So those, you might like that one a little bit better.
Right.
But so far, all she's really wanted to do is start new games and take the personality test. 'Cause when you start the game, you go through this little personality test and ask you all these questions.
To see what kind of trainer you're going to be?
Well, so you go through and ask all the questions, and then it determines what type of Pokemon you are. So she likes to go through there and see what she ends up with. So she restarted the game like three times, and she finally got one, a little cat thing that she likes. But then she hasn't actually played it since then, so I don't know if she actually is going to play this game or not. And then the other one that...
Let me ask you this. Is the 3DS worth, or is it not the 3DS? I think I just added the S like the iPhone.
No, it's called
the... Is it
the,
3DS?
Yeah, because oh, okay. It was the DS, and now it's the 3DS.
Oh, yeah, okay, all right. Thought I added the S on like the iPhone 4DS or whatever. Yeah,
the iPhone 4. What is that? I don't know.
But, so is it worth the little bit extra money to get the new? Because, you know, I know.
Well, they dropped the price, though. They're the same price as
But I mean that, like, my kids have had two DSs in the past, and they still have one that they pass amongst themselves. Is it worth upgrading?
If you want to play the 3D games, you know, you'd have to
I may
the
need
3D,
to take a look at Kaylee's.
I don't know. So she did buy it. So the game... that Pokemon game's not a 3D game. It's just a regular DS game. But she did buy, you know, the Nintendog series.
Uh-huh.
So they put out a new set of those.
Has that shut her up about a pet?
Maybe. I haven't really heard anything since then. But they put out a new set of those called Nintendogs and Cats.
Uh-huh.
And those are 3D games. And so she really likes that one. But at the moment, like, I looked through all the 3D games. And there's not a whole lot that I think she would really enjoy.
Right.
So, I mean, I would say look at the game library and see if there's something you really, really want.
Well, you know, you say that. What's funny is that the Nintendo DSi, the Nintendo DS, and then all those little, all of the Nintendo's handheld games really fall into an odd category. They're you either see really young kids with them, like 3 to 9 years old. Or you see teenagers to adults with them, guys, people who are serious gamers. And so I could see where the games, like, there'd be a lot of games out there to be more oriented for people who are older and not necessarily for the younger people, because there's so many older people playing these games.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd rather play a game. I have games on my phone, but I'd rather play a game on the DS than the phone. I'm finding that I'd rather do a lot of things off of my phone than like GPS.
Well, okay, I'm about to get really nerdy on you.
Okay.
So since that she's had that and I've messed with a little bit, I went and dug my Game Boy out of storage. And I guess it wasn't really in storage. It was just put away. charged it up, and I've been playing my Game Boy and my old copy of Pokemon.
Is it Game Boy Advance?
Game Boy Advance.
Color?
Yeah, they're the old all cover. The
oh, I'm
Game
thinking
Boy
of the
color.
Which
I have a Game Boy Light.
Nice,
but all I have for that is Tetris. I don't know what happened to my other games.
Well, you see those things everywhere in junk sales nowadays, and they're still bringing $30 and $40 for them.
But yeah, I have a game. I dug out my Game Boy Advance, which I bought that specifically to play Final Fantasy Tactics Advance. Right. But then I also picked up a Pokemon game. Use somewhere along the way, so I've been playing that again.
Nerd.
I know. But it's so, I don't know, there's something satisfying about leveling
training.
Up
yes,
and that totally hits that
it's a reward
level
system.
Up. Yeah, it is. But I don't know at the point now, like, I don't know where I am in the storyline because I haven't played this thing in like 7 years, so I'm just walking around fighting stuff because I don't remember what I'm actually supposed to be doing. So I'm going to have to find like a walkthrough or a cheat guide
or something.
I don't know. I might see if my son wants to try out that and maybe...
See how well he does.
Yeah. Well, maybe if
you know he's going to want one eventually.
Yeah, he's been asking for a DS, but maybe if I let... I don't know.
But you don't want him tearing up your Game Boy.
Well... I mean, you can buy those,
classic.
What, $30?
Yeah, $30, $40.
So if something happens to it, I can get another one. But
ooh, Mr. Rich Dude.
Well, no, I'm just saying, I'd rather give him that DS, Game Boy Advance than go spend $170 on another DS.
We bought David this IXL thing, and it's all learning game stuff. But they've got, like, Batman and all the DC cartoon characters and all the little characters that like Brave and Bold, you know, the actual
Yeah.
there's a line of kids toys that are those DC characters.
Yeah, the
it's all those that line and they
Okay.
have games.
And like the isn't it the like the Super Friends or
Yeah,
something?
something like that. Big hands, big feet.
Yeah.
They have all those games for it, you know, we get bought David this IXL thing and touch screen. It got a little stylus. You write. You can. It's got a book reader. Plays music. Plays videos. You got dumb, and he's on that thing like once a month, maybe.
Oh, so here, yeah. So the reason Kaylee hasn't been playing any games on her DS is because you can download a Netflix app for your DS, for your
Yes.
3DS.
She's been watching
And
Netflix.
I stupidly let her download that. It's free to download. So I
Yeah.
let her download it and I added it to her account. So now all she wants to do is sit in a room and watch Netflix. But it's like a full browser. Like
Yeah.
you can access your Instant Queue, but then it's just like the Xbox browser. So you can scroll up and it's got all these suggestions
Right.
based on what you've watched and
And it's off of your account. It's not off my
yeah,
kid's account.
and it's
So if
like,
daddy's been watching
well,
dirty
it's just
anime.
no, but you just scroll up and it's like new horror movies and
Yeah.
there's a whole list like horror movies and
Right.
yeah,
I
so
think you can go to the Netflix site and there's a place where you activate different devices under your account, like your Xbox, your DS, and all that. And I think you can put individual child controls on those
all right,
devices.
I might
So you have
check
to
that
go
out
into the
'cause
Netflix and
I've
do
told
that.
her right now that she's not allowed to watch anything unless she asks us first.
Right.
So hopefully, I don't think she's gonna go in and just be like, "Oh, here's a picture of a guy eating a turd. Let me click on that and see what it is." But
Monstered.
yeah, mostly she's just wanting to watch like Backyardigans and stuff
Right.
like that.
Yeah.
So,
Well, she'll figure it out someday.
but yeah, I don't. We don't let her keep her 3DS in her
I
room either.
saw it charging over
Yeah, because I don't want her to just sit in bed and play it all night.
there. Okay, moving on or something like that.
Okay. All right. So, are we ready for some news?
Yes, let's do some news. I do have a very special report from our in the field reporter, Jason Ludlam.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, he has scored a exclusive The Agreeable Brains interview with Edward Furlong
Oh,
to
wow.
address the controversy, I guess.
Man, that's our biggest get.
Yeah, well, it's a big get, but you know, there apparently is some beef
Oh.
between the Agreeable Brains crew and Mr. Furlong. So let's hear what he has to say about that.
Hi, Jason Ludlam here for the Agreeable Brains podcast, and I'm just here to bring to you an update of the ongoing Agreeable Brains Ed Furlong drama. And for those of you who don't know, just to explain, I sat in on an episode with Scott and Chad a while back and brought with me some haikus. They were about my summer vacation at Fright Night Fandom Fest in Kentucky, and many of them showed Mr. Furlong in a less than positive light, and I guess he wasn't too happy about that. So, anyways, I was contacted by Mr. Furlong via email and Skype, and it turns out he listens to the podcast and wanted to clear the air a little bit about himself and the accusations of douchebaggery, obesity, and really we cover a little more than that too. So anyway, here he is on Skype, Mr. Ed Furlong. Thanks so much for being here, Ed.
Thanks for having me and letting me speak. This is very important to me.
Yeah, no problem. So you were already a fan of the podcast, correct?
No, actually a friend of a friend of a guy I know said, "Hey, dude, someone's talking down about you on this podcast." Or some shit like that, and I was like, no problemo. I'll check it out and decide what my fate will be. After all, there is no fate but what we make for ourselves. So I've heard.
And, yeah, how did that make you feel?
I was ticked off and hurt, honestly.
So, you deny any douchebaggery of any sort in Kentucky?
Listen, all that's subjective. I mean, if someone comes up to me, calls me a douchebag or some shit like that, I'm like, no problemo. And if he's still bringing me down, I'm like, hasta la vista, baby.
So, I have to know, why wouldn't you get up for photos with your fans. I mean, that's just one of those pet peeves of mine that certain celebs do at the conventions. They stay behind the table. They won't get up. I mean, these fans, you know, work hard for the money, and they just want a photo with someone they admire.
Well, answer me this, Haiku King. Have you ever had 1,000 Susie Big Tits ladies come up wanting to squeeze you to death or some shit like that with their arms the size of tree trunks and their veiny, sweaty boobs all over your face, and then they snap a picture or some shit like that, and you're forever immortalized in a photo being raped by Bertha Breastbags?
I think raped is a pretty strong word.
Oh, is it now? That's how I see it, and that's how it makes me feel. Raped. And as we all know, there is no rape but what we make for ourselves.
Clever.
Thanks. So, I decided long ago not to make rape for myself. Not gonna be a photo op biatch for some Molly Milkbags or some shit like that. Never again.
Fair enough. Never thought of it that way, really, So, anyways, what about the weight gain accusations and the constant eating? You wanted to touch on that?
Yes, sir. I can handle being called a douchebag. But to be called chunky or fat, well, that really hurt. Everyone thinks, oh, Ed Furlong don't have no feelings. He's all high and mighty sitting there at that convention table between C. Thomas Howell and Johnny and the Sensei from Karate Kid. Well, I'm more than a movie prop photo op. I've always heard that there's no photo op but what we make for ourselves.
Where do you hear these things?
I don't know, around?
Whatever. I just know that I saw you several times that weekend stuffing your face with, like, pizza, chicken strips, cake. You know, so, any of that sound familiar?
Well, you know what they say.
No, I don't. Enlighten me.
There is no cake but what we make for ourselves.
So, what are you munching on right there now?
Right now I'm just eating grapes.
Well, there is no grapes but what we make for ourselves.
That's poetry, Jason. That's poetry.
Thanks, bro. Well, anyways, on behalf of myself and Scott and Chad and the Agreeable Brains podcast, I apologize.
Hey, dude, no problemo. Someone comes up to me talking some stuff like that, you know, I say, chill out, dickwad. Then he apologizes to me, I say, no problemo.
Okay, well, Ed, I know you're a busy man with your grapes. So, anyway, we'll talk to you later, sir. Thanks.
Later.
All right. That was awesome. Thanks, Jason. Awesome. That was really cool. Hilarious.
We will have to get Jason to do a lot more in the field interviews.
It is awesome that our budget has expanded so much that we can have in the field reporting of major Hollywood stars.
Yeah.
You know, they're coming to the show now.
It's the digital age.
It is the digital age. And you know, it's amazing how we can just get people to come to our show. But 6 months ago, no one heard of us. And now we have Edward Furlong.
Dude, 6 days ago, no one heard of us. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I have some news stories we can follow that article up with. And I think I have a story here that you're very excited about.
I am. Is this the
author called it, entitled this, I don't think he entitled it, but it's in the title of the story. The headline anyway. Gorillas in the Tryst. Which I like.
That's
clever.
Yeah, because
it's like Gorillas in the Mist.
That is very punny.
Sexual.
It's not as funny if you have to explain it, though.
No, I like it. So, apparently there's this gorilla named Rigo, R-I-G-O, or Rigo, I don't know. And apparently he has been locked in a cage for 16 years, and he's recently been...
Was he a bad monkey?
He's a bad ape. He wasn't bad when he was locked up in the cage, but sure was bad when he got out. So I'm thinking it was some sort of rescue deal. He's probably like with a circus or some sort of weird Moscow zoo or something. You know, they didn't have any money. They gave the monkey cigarettes and steaks and, you know, and vodka. And that's what he lived on. And he's never seen sunlight. You know, it's one of those deals.
Okay.
And so apparently they, Rigo... mated like the very first day, like they released him with other gorillas, four other gorillas. He mated with all four of those female gorillas.
I was going to ask, are those female gorillas?
It says females in the article, and he's 41 years old, and he's never been with other gorillas.
Wait, how long do gorillas live?
They live a long time. 16 years he's been in that cage.
Dang.
And he says, okay, after 16 years on his own in a cage, the 41-year-old silverback is being allowed to hang around with other primates at the Melbourne Zoo in Australia. Keepers hope he will continue to get to know the females there better and produce offspring as they all part of the endangered Western lowland species.
See, he's just doing his part.
So there's an awesome picture of him laying down in hay, and he's totally covered in like grass pieces and dirt. And so apparently he just went ape shit crazy and, started humping all these apes in this cage. But all day long, he just drilled the turd out of these other gorillas. And after not like seeing, he sees females and just went nuts. He went ape shit.
Yeah.
He was introduced to 8 other gorillas, 4 of them females, so he can continue his species. So
he just totally fucked up their dynamic.
Yeah.
Like they're like, oh man, we had this good thing going. There's 4 of us, there's 4 of them, there's a chick for each of us. Come on, guys, we need to make our move before someone else comes in. And then Rigo comes in
and drops his load on all their faces.
Ape cock. It's like, you pussy gorillas. Waiting for this.
You know what graphite is?
I do know what graphite is.
Do you know what graphene is?
I do not know what graphene is.
And I'm only guessing that they're related. But oh. Because the name sounds so familiar. But
maybe it's related to a bar graph.
It could be.
Or an infograph.
It says, the wonder stuff that could change the world. Graphene is so strong. A sheet of it as thin as cling film could support an elephant. So like saran wrap, a sheet of it could hold an elephant up.
What would you tie it to?
Shut up.
I'm just wondering.
It's tougher than diamonds, but stretches like rubber. It's virtually invisible, conducts electricity, and heats better than any copper wire, and weighs next to nothing. Meet graphene, an astounding new material which could revolutionize almost every part of our lives. I dig it when they come up with new stuff like this, you know.
But that's what they said about carbon nanotubes. They haven't done shit with that.
Well, they use carbon fibers. Anything related to carbon fiber?
I don't think so.
Because they're like building cars and shit out of it now, and it's like super light.
It's
just
fiberglass. With a fancy
thing. It's really, really strong fiberglass. It could transform medicine and replace silicon as the new raw material used to make computer chips. It's a miracle material.
It only comes from stem cells of dead babies.
and gorillas. It only comes from the sperm of Rigo.
So does it say how they make it or what it's made out of?
Reading this is a really long article, but basically they were looking for other super materials like they use in computers and stuff to make chips and junk, where China has like the world's largest mine and they kind of have a corner on the market. It says it is made by chemically processing graphite, the cheap material in the lead of pencils. Every few months, researchers come up with a new, cheaper way to mass producing graphene. So that's some experts believe it could eventually cost $4 per pound.
I'm going to buy a pound of that stuff. Then I'm going to use it like saran wrap. I'm going to wrap you up and then I'm going to shoot you in the head.
It's carbon atoms. Strongly bonded together in a honeycomb-type fashion.
You don't really sound very scared of my death threats.
No, I don't. I'm ignoring you. Yeah, it comes from graphite, so that's pretty cool. Yet, despite the flurry of excitement, many researchers doubt graphene can live up to such high expectations. So, you're not the only one that's doubting the wonder material.
I'm not doubting it. I'm just, you hear about that stuff, like you
said. That's true. You do hear about
it. But then they don't really do anything with it.
What was that aerogel or whatever that came out a few years ago that was lighter than air, but it's stronger? You could set shit on it.
I know what you're talking about. It's like a crazy heat insulator type of thing.
Yeah, yeah. And you could insulate a house.
That stuff is like ridiculously expensive.
Right, right.
That's why they haven't really.
But they're always coming out with something like that.
Yeah.
So, I got some crypto news.
Hells yeah.
We haven't had crypto news in a while.
I know. I miss it.
You miss it. So apparently there was a strange creature filmed in a Brazilian rainforest. It looks alien, too. I forget,
how many is a Brazilian?
It's more than a mazillion.
Okay.
As biologically diverse as the Amazon is, this peculiar creature would not appear to be natural inhabitant of the Brazilian jungle, or Earth, for that matter. And it does look like it's a picture of a gray, basically. And
oh, really?
The footage is there's children in the foreground, and way in the background there's like a shiny spot and a gray just hanging out.
By
a tree.
Just gray. Hanging out in the jungle.
I'm hanging out by a tree.
So they got photobombed by an alien?
Yeah, they totally photobombed by an alien. So we'll post these pictures and let people see. If they're fake, they're some of the better quality fake.
Oh, dude, did you see the picture of that Cyclops shark?
That's my next article.
Oh, my God, that thing is so creepy.
Yeah, and when I first saw that came out a couple months ago. When I first saw it, I said fake. That's chopped. And apparently it's not. There's a scientific explanation for it. As says National Geographic Channel. Oh, crap, where did you go?
Yeah. Well, apparently from what I saw is... they've verified it is just a mutation. That's just a really rare thing, but it happens.
One-eyed anomaly.
Yeah.
Talk about a one-of-a-kind of a discovery. An extremely rare cyclops shark has been confirmed in Mexico. 22 inches long. This 22-inch-long fetus has a single functioning eye at the front of his head, the hallmark of congenital condition called cyclopia, which occurs in several animal species, including humans.
So I don't think they should have said it's not a rare cyclops shark.
Yeah.
It's not a breed of shark.
Yeah, no.
It's a mutated whatever kind of shark it is.
These pictures that are on here make it look like something that Matt Groening would draw from the nuclear plant.
Really,
it's got a goofy
fake
smile on it and
it's
kind of yellowish like Simpsons. It's definitely freaky looking. But it doesn't really have any other like weird mutations on it, just the big eyeball.
Yeah, it's just like they say, that's the thing that happens.
It's got a smile, though. That's what's weird.
Well, that's sharks kind of look... It's because the eye is cartoony looking, I think.
Well, and it's got a picture with other sharks, and it's definitely more of a smile than sharks.
It's happy.
It is totally happy for being caught and discovered.
Happy to be creepy.
How about... giant kraken sea lair discovered.
Oh, I think I heard something about that. Okay, the thing I heard, though, was this scientist... Okay, I think what they found was just a bunch of bones.
Yeah, in a lake.
And the scientist was like, oh, here's why there's all those bones. It's because this giant thing brought all its food there.
Yeah.
But... That could be anything, though.
Yeah, it could be
that
anything.
That sounds like he's just totally making it up.
a giant sea monster the likes of mythological Kraken may have swum Earth's ancient ocean, snagging what was thought to be the sea's top predator, school bus-sized Ichthyosaurus, with fearsome teeth. The Kraken would have been nearly 100 feet long, or twice the size of the colossal squid, likely drowned or broke the necks of the so the bones they found was the Ichthyosaurus.
Yeah.
There was a concentrated amount of them in one area, and someone said, oh, that's where the Kraken came from. I think it was Zeus who pointed it out and said, that's where the Kraken was.
So that's where I'm going to release the Kraken.
Release the Kraken. One article that
Although,
we had...
just to be clear, the Kraken is not from Greece mythology.
But it was in the movie.
Yeah, it was in the movie.
What did they call it in the remake? Did they call it a...
They still called it the Kraken.
Did they?
Which Perseus didn't fight the Kraken in mythology. He fought the Chimera.
So, last week I had an article about a Russian expedition going to find the Yeti.
Yes.
Russian
they find the Yeti?
And they are claiming now that they have indisputable proof of...
Dude,
Yeti existence.
I'm totally disputing that.
Huh?
I'm totally disputing that.
A Russian region in Siberia has proclaimed that its mountains are home to Yetis after finding indisputable proof of the existence of the hairy beast in an expedition. The Russian coal mining region of Kemerov said in the statement on its website that footprints and possibly even hair samples belonging to the Yetis were found on a research trip in the remote mountains. That's indisputable proof.
Yeah, how They've is possible hair samples indisputable? We might have hair samples. You can't prove we don't.
During the expedition of a cave, conference participants gathered indisputable proof that Shahura Mountains are inhabited by snowmen. The expedition was organized. They have his. They found his footprints, his supposed bed, and various markers with which the Yeti marks his territory. The statement said,
"Dude, okay, if I find
collected
a Yeti,
artifacts will be analyzed in a special laboratory.
If I find a Yeti bed, I'm gonna hang out till the Yeti comes to sleep."
Yeah, makes sense to
Why
me.
Why the hell would you just? Here's his bed. All right, that's indisputable proof. Let's leave.
Now, on one of our very early shows of the Agreeable Brains, we had a story about the chupacabra in Texas, and it was a cyclopsy thing. Do you remember that? It looked like kind of like
a cyclopsy thing.
Yeah, it was supposedly a chupacabra from Texas. Someone shot it. You should go back. I think it was episode 2 or 3.
I thought it was just a mangy coyote.
Well, that's some of the theories of what it was, but it had a cyclopsy. It was like a deer. It looked to me like a deer. With a cyclops eye.
Oh, I do remember that picture. That's another like a creepy doe. Picture.
Yeah, it was creepy.
Cyclopses are just creepy.
But apparently in Texas, somebody else has shot another chupacabra. Homeowner thinks the animal he shot dead is a mythical creature. With its blue hairless body, rounded ears, and scarily sharp teeth, this strange creature has been creating quite a stir. Shot dead by Mississippi homeowner. Oh, I thought this was in Texas. I just assumed it was in Texas. It has reopened the debate as to the very existence of the mythical chupacabra.
Okay.
It does have very sharp teeth, but I don't see any goat-sucking apparatus. But one of the theories for this picture is that some sort of hybrid dog.
If those coyotes and dogs would stop fucking all the time.
I know.
And producing chupacabras.
Like that fucking gorilla.
At least he's having sex with his own kind. He's not some sort of an aberration.
So, moving on, you're a big fan of Godzilla.
I have been known to enjoy
it. I mean,
Godzilla
you're not like, you know, the biggest fan, but you do like Godzilla
stuff. I'm not
stuff.
A 12-year-old Japanese girl.
You know more about Godzilla stuff than I do. Like, I mean,
well,
like
I just,
history
I kind of grew up watching all of those movies.
Yeah, so a picture of Godzilla has hit the internet, and it's supposedly the new Godzilla from a new film. But to me, it looks like an action figure, like a wrestler. Like they took Godzilla and combined it with The Rock. No, I'm just
looks
like he's
like a
got
person.
No, he's got like it's not a person, but his arms are like instead of stubby like Tyrannosaurus arms. He's got long people arms with shoulder, bicep, forearm, and hand, and they're muscular. And then he's got big muscular human legs and a tail, and the rest of him looks like Godzilla, but it looks like a. Like a more.
I mean, Godzilla's. He doesn't have the little T Rex hands. He's got arms. I
yeah,
don't
but
be like big wrestler arms.
But they weren't like as articulate. It's not the word, but art. You know, an action figure is 32 points of
articulation.
Is that the word?
Yeah.
I thought articulation was with words.
Well, you can be articulate.
The words that
yeah.
I can't speak.
Yeah.
Bad
Them words
now.
Hurt your words. Brains.
So it looks like, but it looks like it's like got all the same. It's got an elbow. You know, tricep, bicep.
Gotta have an elbow to do the elbow drop.
So, says the last time Godzilla was on a big screen, it was in Roland Emmerich's 1998 Godzilla, a movie that, well, it had Matthew Broderick in it.
That's not true.
What?
That's not the last Godzilla.
Well, I think they're
movie.
Talking about in America.
In America, yeah. I like that movie.
Just I thought it was all right. I have it on DVD. I put it in occasionally and remember, oh, yeah, that was kind of cool.
It's not the best Godzilla movie,
yeah,
but it's
no.
still a good movie.
Our source in the know on the new look at Godzilla sent us in the direction of Hector A. Arce, a creature fantasy sculptor who has been told is part of the design team for the legendary films primarily because of this version of Godzilla based on a sculpt he did of Godzilla quite some time ago. So Legendary, the film company, is rolling out the new Godzilla, and they rolled out Godzilla concept art at Comic-Con back in 2010. So.
Comic-Con.
There's a new Godzilla on the way. I think that's all my new stuff.
And now, is that going to be a stage release? Or
didn't
is
this, go into detail. And well, it's Legendary Films. That's a state company in the United States, so
okay.
I'd imagine that it would be United States release.
Just make the Japanese hate us all over again.
Yeah, because they really didn't like the Americanized Godzilla film. They even did a film to where their Godzilla kicked the shit out of our Godzilla, didn't they?
Yeah, well, there was Destroy All Monsters movie where just like tons of monsters betray each other. And yeah, there's one part where Zilla is what they call him, came to fight Godzilla, and
Godzilla stomped the dick out of him.
Yeah, it was like a 30-second fight.
Well, our Godzilla was like 60 foot tall in the film.
I don't know.
And their Godzilla is like 200 foot tall.
Yeah, he was small enough that he could hide down in New York City. The buildings. Yeah.
Whereas their Godzilla
climb up on them and stuff. Where, yeah, like
Godzilla, just, their Godzilla could just take a dump on top of our Godzilla and smother it to death. It'd be a big Godzilla dump.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's all my news.
I've never seen Godzilla take a dump.
Didn't he take a dump? Didn't our Godzilla take a dump in the movie?
Yeah, because that's how they found out he ate fish.
Yeah.
Because that was in his dump. That's a big pile of shit.
So, that's our show this week, Chad. What'd you think?
I thought it was excellent.
I think I sound like I'm gargling on a cock or something because I'm all stuffed up.
Well, that sounds a little bit different.
I guess it wouldn't be gargling. It would be a cock shoved up my nose.
Yeah.
It'd be nasally. Nasal.
I'm starting to feel that way, too. I don't know if you made me sick.
It's allergies or something. I don't know. Yeah. Allergies and a head cold.
And it's late and I'm really tired.
Oh, dude, I'm so tired. All right. Well, let's wrap this baby up.
Let's wrap this baby up in saran wrap
tight.
And shoot it in the top of the head.
Thank you for joining us this week. As always, you can find links to all the stuff we talked about, as well as other stuff we write on our blogs at theagreeablebrains.blogspot.com.
And if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, you can reach us via email using theagreeablebrains@gmail.com.
You can also find us on Facebook. Like our page to get updates about the show as well as extra stuff we don't have time to get to.
And if you don't think the show sucks, please let us know by leaving a review on iTunes.
Definitely. We need some reviews on iTunes. People go out there and review us.
I don't care what they even say.
Yeah, you could say that Scott has dicks in his nose.
Yeah, say, I love that part of the show where Scott has a dick in his nose.
And, you know, as long as it's on iTunes, we don't care. All right, Chad, thanks for having me over.
All right, man, thank you for coming over. I will talk to you laters.
Later!
See ya.
Bye.
Bye. Adios.
Tacos.
Hasta la vista, baby.
I know, I'm telling this too late. It's too tiring. Give a shit or something.
No spank for what you make.
Yeah. 21.
21. Always been on black. Oh, wait. No, that doesn't work.
Always.
Well, yeah, it does. Wait, no, what game am I thinking of? That's roulette.
21 is blackjack.
Yeah.
Roulette has numbers, but I don't know how high they go up. I'm sure it goes past 21, so yeah. You could probably...
You can't always bet on black on blackjack.
No.
Always bet on blackjack.
You have to play. I mean, it's part of the game.
Like rule number one, first place a bet. Or maybe sit down to the table.
The agreeable brains.
Okay, brains.
Podcast.
Let's get agreeable up in this bizatch.
Oh man, this is gonna suck.
You're gonna suck.